Merry Christmas, homemakers. Welcome to the Art of Home podcast, Holiday Homemaking 2022, where we are exploring how homemakers cultivate a place to belong during the Christmas season. I'm your host, Allison Weeks. I'm a wife, a mom to four grown kids, a granny to one baby boy, and I have been practicing the art of holiday homemaking for over 30 years. Christmas is less than 2 weeks away, ladies. How are you doing? I hope you've been able to find some ways to savor the season and that these episodes are bringing you some holiday cheer as you make your preparations for celebrating Christmas in your home. This week's episode features five more homemakers sharing their holiday memories, tips, and recipes, and a Christmas literature scene from Mr. Dickens' Christmas Carol, which, by the way, if you have never seen the movie The Man Who Invented Christmas, I highly recommend it. It is such a delightful movie based on the story of how Ebenezer Scrooge came to be forever associated with Christmas. So whether you are assembling a gingerbread house or working on some homemade gifts, I hope you enjoy these holiday stories of home. Okay, I'm back here with my friend, Lana.
Lay Law Glue.
Okay, let me try that again. Lay Law Glue. Okay, I'm back here with my friend, Lana Lay Law Glue. Nice. We're going to talk about Christmas.
Yay, Christmas.
Okay, Lana, tell me, what is a typical Christmas day like at your house?
Okay, so the day of, our youngest is five. Mm. So we still are in the early waking. The kid's excited for Christmas morning. And so... we try to wake up early with them so they don't have to wait long to open their presents. Mm-hmm. And we open gifts with them first. And we are fortunate enough to live with both sides of the family in the same city. So my parents and my husband's. And so we split up the whole Christmas day going to both sides of the family. And we've lived in a different state before, earlier in our marriage. And so we just are so grateful and love, you know, being able to have like the full day and seeing both sides. But we start with our family and our kiddos in the morning. And we open gifts and just have a slow Christmas breakfast together and relax and then do lunch with my family and dinner with his or vice versa. But it's just a long, really fun day filled with cousins and gifts and celebrating. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
What are you eating on Christmas morning?
That's a great question. So I'm also fortunate that I live close to my mom, and my mom loves to bake Croatian Christmas goodies. And so there's specific like bread. It's called orihnjača, which is like a walnut roll, you know.
Yummy.
So there are some traditional favorites that she'll always have baked or have given us or we'll have when we go over there.
Because you're first generation.
Yes, Croatian. And he is first generation Greek.
Okay.
My husband. So
oh my gosh,
we have
the
this
food.
Mediterranean.
Oh. Yeah. Nice.
Which it's just basically pastries and, you know, baked goods. They have some delicious, unique traditional things. And so we do get to benefit from that. And I'm on the way of taking over. I need to practice making them with my mom and start, you know, now that I'm out of the little years with my kiddos. So I need to do that this year. Maybe I need to go and like make a roll with her a few days before.
Absolutely.
That can be my goal. Yeah.
Absolutely. Because you're going to want to be able to teach your girls.
I know.
How to do that.
Yeah.
What about on your husband's side, the Greek side?
They do a lamb beef with orzo dish.
Nice.
And my mother-in-law makes delicious little spinach pies, which is actually little triangles with feta cheese inside. They're called spanakopitas.
Yum.
But that's not Christmas specific, but that's
what they do.
We'll have the usual traditional Greek meal for
that
dinner.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so what other traditions do you guys do as part of the Christmas season?
Yes. Okay, so I guess in line with a Croatian tradition that I did with my family, it's actually not a specific Croatian, but it's a song, a Croatian song Christmas song that my sisters and I would always play when we decorated the tree with my parents. And mm-hmm. so, and it had, you know, a Croatian lyrics, and it was, and so I've tried to start doing that when we're decorating our tree earlier, you know, in the season, that we always kind of play that same song over and over. Uh-huh. And so I don't know. I think that's a special idea to even yes. have a couple of favorite songs, or to do something specific to, like, oh, now it's decorating time.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And let me think some other ones. Okay. You're going to love this one. This is my favorite tradition. Uh-huh. We go caroling.
Ah!
We still
Yay!
Do that. And
that.
We didn't for, you know, when they were babies and newborns and stuff. But in the last 5 years, mm-hmm. it's my parents. My dad plays the guitar. They initiated it. And we would just all go with my sisters. And now it's moved to where we've started inviting families from church. We're trying to make it bigger. And I think even this year, we're going to have it on multiple nights and do different neighborhoods, you know. And
I
just
wanna come.
I know. We should invite you, and your husband's voice are just so beautiful. So I love it. And it's so old school,
that's,
you know, and traditional,
so
but our neighbors are, I mean, people love it.
Oh, that was my question. So you go around your neighborhood?
Yes.
Okay.
And you have to have a conducive neighbor, you know, like one of us lives in a more spread out.
Mm-hmm.
Ours is still pretty close, and everyone just, you know, we just knock on doors and are standing in the street. But,
oh, that's amazing.
You kind of have to get over being embarrassed, or just, it's, you know, no one else is really doing that anymore.
No. I don't remember the last time
so
I had carolers.
It's a little
come.
Awkward. And then when yeah. people open, you know, like it's just different times, but it was funny. It was like February or something, and I was scrolling the Nextdoor app looking for something specific, and I see all these comments on, like, did you guys get carolers? Did you see that was the, that made
oh.
my, and then somebody was like, my family was out of town and that was the gift I need, you know, like just,
oh,
and I was like, okay,
awesome.
It's worth being embarrassed or feeling weird, you know, but our kids love it. They
oh,
all
yeah.
get to knock on the door and rotate, you know.
That's
so,
a
yeah,
wonderful
I think
tradition. Yeah.
Everyone should start doing that more. And it helps you just meet neighbors, and
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
we love it.
That's so awesome. And
yeah.
even if you don't have somebody that can play the guitar, just
yeah.
like
acapella.
Bring, yeah. Do it acapella, or get your phone out and like play a
yes,
track.
That's so true.
You can download yeah. tracks for free
yeah.
And just sing along with it or whatever.
Yeah.
Be flexible.
Yes.
That's so great. I love that tradition. Okay, so we know that Christmas can be crazy town.
Mm-hmm. The whole month. Yeah.
yeah, the whole month, especially with
the season.
All the kids mm-hmm. And kid activities and school plays and mm-hmm. choir concerts, all that kind of stuff. How do you manage that busy season with a busy family and keep the main thing the main thing?
Yeah.
What are some things that you do practically?
That's huge, because some people can get, I feel like there's a temptation to do too much, or to feel like there's one right or better way mm-hmm. to celebrate the holiday. Like, oh, go to all the light things, or go to this fun, you know,
yeah.
pack things in. And that could look different for other families. I feel like we enjoy going and doing, you know, we have two or three little events that we like to go to with lights, and that the kids enjoy. But some people, I feel like how to keep it the main thing is not overloading with that. You know, like some people, my first thought was actually to check with your husband and like make a plan with
oh, yeah.
what you both agree on as what would be too much, or what's what you do want to do, you know?
Absolutely.
And it depends on the age of the kids. Because I love going out, and I love like doing something Friday and Saturday, like every month, you know, if I could. But then my husband is like, that's too much for the kids, or bedtime, or he's more of a homebody. So he'd say, let's balance it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Another thought I had with just keeping the main focus is planning in time just as a family to have slow but intentional time with the kids, of just either reading something, or of course just reading the story from the Bible about Christmas and having that, but spread out, you know, because their attention spans are short, and maybe do a
Absolutely.
couple, but just evenings to where it's like by the fire, or have intentional, like either reading them stories or questions or game nights to where you can just be by the tree
mm-hmm.
And there's the time and the space for those questions that they might have or that you ask with them, and that it's slow enough to where you have those intentional teaching moments, you know, about what are we really celebrating, you know?
Absolutely.
And then my husband does really well with gifts as far as always reminding the kids about it not being about us getting presents and me and mine, but about giving and about celebrating the gift that we all received and what Christmas is all about and how his son was the gift that we're celebrating. And just those kind of, we just have to interject that and pray that the enemy's not distracting us, because he also will do that.
Yeah.
He will either make you and your husband, you know, have a tiff or distract from when you were planning to have a relaxed family night and have questions or talk time with the kids. And it like all goes to,
I know,
to whatever. So I don't know. I'm just kind of talking with your husband about like, okay, how does our schedule look? What night should we try, you know, X, Y, Z.
Yeah. I love that. I love that suggestion to sit down together and talk to one another, you and your husband, about what your goals are for the season. You know, I mean, you should do that regularly anyway, but particularly with Christmas coming, to sit down. What do we want? Last year we had a guest, Joyce, who gave some really great advice that had been given to her. And she said, okay, I want you to pretend that it's December 26th. And how do you want to feel?
That's really good.
And ask yourself that question on November 30, at the end of the November, right before you get into that season, ask yourself that question. What do I want to feel like the day after Christmas? You know, do I want to be exhausted? Do I want to be angry and bitter or whatever, you know?
Yes.
And then think about that. And so that's a great, absolutely, you should sit down with your husband and have that discussion. And if you have older kids, sit down as a family and talk about, hey, what do we as a family want our Christmas season to look like this year?
Gosh, that question, that's huge for my thought just shifted back, because I'm in a really unique season where I'm not the main one cooking or, you know, I'm not hosting a ton unless it's by choice. So that's for sure for a mom in general, especially that's hosting family in town or whatever,
right?
To have that mindset of like serving, and that just the whole attitude of like, I don't know how my expectation of like, is it just going to be fun and all relaxing for me? Or is the Lord calling me to serve and give? And how do I not pray against having bitterness or
exactly
being run down and just committing to too much?
And you said that you use that word intentional when talking about sitting down with your kids and having intentional time of drawing them back to what's the reason, why are we celebrating all month? And that's just a great key word to keep in mind about the whole approach that we take to the holiday season is we have to be intentional, because the enemy will sneak in and distract us and all those kind of things. Okay. Those are wonderful insights. Thank you for sharing those. I have a couple of final questions.
Yes.
Okay. I would love to know, what is your favorite Christmas movie, if you have one?
Oh, okay. So, well, actually, I put off wrapping presents because I'm a procrastinator anyway, but I'm working on it. But I've made it into a tradition, and I watch White Christmas every Christmas Eve while I wrap.
Oh, I love that.
And then usually I'm like, okay, I need to like start doing half of it earlier, because I'm then too tired. You know, I'm like exhausted.
Yes.
But we do love White Christmas, and I just love.
That's a favorite.
That's my favorite.
I always watch that with my mom. That's our favorite together.
And then for kids, they watch The Star.
The Star.
And it's like an animated, but it's for earlier in the month. You know, it's not really biblical or anything. I'm sure maybe there's some like better ones with like the biblical story, but this was a clean, but it's funny, just a Christmas cartoon. Like,
okay, cool.
I don't know if it's Disney or like maybe Pixar on Netflix or whatever. Or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Disney, The Star. All right, cool. Okay. What about Christmas music? What's your favorite Christmas song?
We'll have to share like playlists, which you do beautiful ones. I love yours from last year.
Thank you. Yes.
But I can share mine.
Yeah,
I like an assortment for sure. Mm-hmm. But I love Shane and Shane's Christmas. Mm-hmm. I love She and Him. is secular.
Yeah, that's Zooey Deschanel.
Yes.
And I don't know who the him is.
I know, me neither. It's a random, but it's just beautiful, relaxing music. I love Johnny Swim's Christmas album, Pentatonics. That's just a cappella. And I can't remember off the top of my head who else, but I make a list and just, I always like adding to it or, you know, editing it.
Okay. So. Well, maybe you can share your Spotify playlist with us and we'll post it on this episode in the notes.
But it makes it so sweet. I mean, music just adds to the season. I think it's so nice having it on at home in the evenings and just, when you go look at lights together, you know.
Absolutely.
It's the best.
I have one final question because I want to pick your brain because you're a photographer. So when it comes to photographing Christmas, Christmas Day, maybe a Christmas family around the tree picture. Can you give us a couple of tips? Because it's hard to do that. You're inside. You're dealing with like lights on the tree and maybe not the best indoor lighting. Any thoughts or tips?
Oh man, just in general, not specific tips, but just mindset, I would say. I almost have two that seem to be a little bit conflicting, but my first thought is just to take the pictures, just to take, you know, if you think of it, just grab your phone and don't think about if it's perfect or, but document, especially with family, with grandparents, just your kiddos, really get your kiddos with family, as much as you can. But on the contrary to that, don't stress about it or don't feel like you have to, you know, just if you remember, try to, and anyways, but as far as actual technically tips, I would say if possible, lighting on the face and either turning towards a window or making sure that the subjects have their face lit versus artificial lighting isn't ideal if it's a yellow light bulb, you know, but if there's at all a window light. And then let's see, other tips would just be simplify the area around whoever you're photographing. So either you move your body, you know, if you need to like make sure it's a clean background or that there's not like a million distracting objects behind them or come, you know, if you're going to, those are all things that I think through, but that might be complicated. Just something else. It kind of comes naturally to me. Just like step this way or make your subject, just turn them a little bit or get, you know, ask somebody to step out. So somebody's random leg isn't in the background, you know, things like that. If you're actually going to, you know, want to frame something. But that's just how my brain works. So it's probably not, probably that might be overwhelming to somebody else, but the baseline is to just take the pictures on your phone and but don't let it be a stressor or distraction from, you know, don't let it be like another pressure, but just take them.
That's a really great tip. And I was just thinking about a photograph that I have. It's one of my favorite pictures from Christmas and it's a picture of one of my sons. I don't remember which one, on the floor. Playing Legos, putting together a Lego set that he had got that morning with my grandfather.
See, that? Yes, that's so sweet.
And it was just a candid, like I just happened to pass by. This was later in the day and I saw them sitting there and I just grabbed, this was when I did not have a phone. I grabbed my camera.
Awesome. Oh, I love it. Point and shoot, it's perfect.
And took a picture.
Yes.
So there's really no excuse because we all have amazing cameras, right? In our pocket. And I know it's in your pocket, ladies. Yeah. It's always with you. So just pull that out and just take candid shots. I think that's a wonderful tip.
Yes. And the candid is for sure a way to simplify, but take them candid for sure. You don't have to like, oh, look here and smile. Sometimes usually actually they're even better if you just discreetly take whatever's happening, you know? And those are the sweetest or the most treasured, you know, a child sitting in grandpa's lap or just a big shot of the room from far away. And I don't know. Sometimes we feel self-conscious or I used to feel like, oh, I'm always taking pictures or people are, you know. But just take them and put it away and it has its place, but don't be ashamed of like, you know, snapping a few. And they'll be so sweet to look back.
They will be. So, well, thank you so much. And thank you for sharing about Christmas with
us. Yes, of course. I can't wait for Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I'm here with my friend Amber Davis, and we're going to talk about Christmas. So, Amber, what does a typical Christmas day look like at your house?
A typical Christmas day is much more intimate at our house. We usually keep it just the immediate family. Mm-hmm. Normally, we do the bigger holiday celebrations like on Thanksgiving and other times throughout the year. So it's usually just me, my husband, kids, and grandma.
Okay.
And we will gather around the tree with a cup of coffee, and I tend to be the one that hands out the gifts. I don't know why, how that happened, but that's what happens. And then we'll fix a nice meal and just kind of relax and watch Christmas movies together. Our meals aren't really traditional. Mm-hmm. At home, we kind of do just family favorites. So some years it's, you know, chicken schnitzel and mashed potatoes, or other years it'll be, you know, something different like a brisket or something like that.
Okay, cool. Is there a particular cookie recipe or pie or cake or something that needs to be made at some point in the Christmas season?
Oh, yes. We always make apple pie. Okay. Apple pies are the common favorite of the pies. But we always do this thing too where we send cookies to the family. And so my grandma has this. She does these mini molasses tarts. And so we'll make those, which are pretty time consuming, but they're delicious. And then we make something called Scotcheroos. And I'm pretty sure that's on the back of a Rice Krispies box, but it is like a Rice Krispie treat, but with peanut butter. And then it's a blend of chocolate and butterscotch topping. And then you let it set and cut it up, and it's
yum,
delicious. And we send those out to like my sister and the kids and all of those.
Nice. So
yes.
It's a Rice Krispie treat, but it's made with peanut butter.
Yes.
Does it have marshmallows in it too?
It has peanut butter, marshmallows, Karo syrup.
Oh, okay. And then you mix up chocolate chips and butterscotch
chips.
Like melted to put on the top as like kind of like a frosting.
Yes. And then you let it kind of just not put it in the fridge because it makes the Rice Krispies too hard, but just set until it's firm. And then we make them into individual bite size and put them in cookie tins.
Yummy. That sounds delicious.
It is.
Well, what are some holiday traditions that you guys do during the season?
I would say the cookie making is one of those. I also try to do a kind of year in review or photo collage type thing to kind of give all the, since we have such a large family, do some family updates. We do the Christmas movies together, but I also have regularly, my sister has 6 kids. And so I regularly send them a Christmas Eve box, and I will do fun, dress it up. Like one time I made them into snowmen and they each got their own snowman to open, but I'll do a Christmas movie for them to watch as a family, Christmas treats, and either pajamas or a blanket so that they can all kind of spend time together as a family.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
That's very sweet. So you make one big box?
Nope.
For them to open?
Or they each get their own box.
Oh, wow.
And so, nice. And sometimes they're bigger than others. But yeah, I found that snowman one on Pinterest. So it was literally 3 boxes stacked with scarves. So they got a scarf that year because the snowman had to wear a scarf.
Yeah.
And so I'll just do different things like that. Like we've done the 12 days of Christmas with them too. Uh-huh. And they'll have like very simple things, whether it's like chapstick or, you know, small type gifts like that where they get to open something for the 12 days leading up to Christmas.
Oh, that's really sweet. Yes. I love that. Well, the holidays can be just absolutely crazy and hectic. What are some ways that you maintain balance in this busy season and keep the main thing the main thing?
One of the ways that I maintain balance is I'm a pretty intentional gift giver. And so I'm usually done by September or October. That's just my way of like minimizing the chaos is be done so that it's done. Mm-hmm. And so throughout the year, I'll do that ahead of time. But I've also gotten really comfortable with kind of looking at the month as a whole, like what's important, what can be said no to, and just saying yes to a few things, handful of things. And then the rest, we just are comfortable with saying, you know, we just can't do that. We're going to kind of decompress this month and spend some time at home. And that has really helped. And we typically set aside that whole week after Christmas to travel home to El Paso to see family. And so that just kind of takes a priority.
Yeah.
For after Christmas. So we say no to a lot of things up front so we can make room for that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Do you have a particular devotional or something that you like to study during the Christmas season?
There is we've done a couple of different ones. There was one called The Songs of Christmas, and I did that one this last year, which was beautiful. And I have bought a Paul Tripp one, and I'll have to send you the name. I can't remember it right now, but it's a 31-day devotional as well for Christmas. Okay. So that one is my one for this coming that we'll walk through. But we've done, there's like, it's called The Story of Jotham, I think. And it's not a it is based off of biblical stories leading up to the birth. But it's written kind of like a fiction story. And I've walked through that with the kids too. And it's just a fun way for them to see the stories in a new light. Uh-huh. So we do devotionals during that time. And then, you know, just set time aside to really read through Luke and talk about the birth of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yes.
So when you do the devotionals, do you do them with your kids or you do them on your own?
I will do a more scaled down version of that with the kids. I can do hours of devotional time for myself. They don't tend to like to stay that long.
No.
but I will do it. And then I'll try to do where I come up with some good questions beforehand, like after I've studied, and then go back and do it with them. So we do a little bit more of a condensed version and then lots of questions.
Cool.
Yes.
How do you do that, like once a week or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Once a week usually.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's awesome. Anything else you want to share about Christmas?
The only other thing I was thinking of is that typically the kids and I will do the tree together, and then my husband and I like to decorate the outside, but we are a warm white light kind of family. Mm. We love it. And the more white lights, the better.
Yeah.
It just makes it dreamy.
It really does. It does.
So.
I think if my kids growing up had a choice, they would have chosen all the colored lights.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But I was, no. Warm white lights.
Yes, I agree.
I just love that. It makes the house glow, for sure.
I agree.
Okay, well, thanks for sharing your Christmas memories.
Thank you so much.
Merry Christmas.
You too.
The Three Kings. Three kings came riding from far away, Melchior and Gaspar and Balthazar. Three wise men out of the east were they, and they traveled by night and they slept by day, for their guide was a beautiful, wonderful star. The star was so beautiful, large, and clear that all the other stars of the sky became a white mist in the atmosphere. And by this they knew that the coming was near of the prince foretold in the prophecy. Three caskets they bore on their saddle bows, three caskets of gold with golden keys. Their robes were of crimson silk with rose, of bells and pomegranates and furbelows, their turbans like blossoming almond trees. And so the three kings rode into the west, through the dusk of night, over hill and dell, and sometimes they nodded with beard on breast, and sometimes talked, as they paused to rest, with the people they met at some wayside well. "Of the child that is born," said Balthazar, "good people, I pray you, tell us the news, for we in the east have seen his star, and have ridden fast and have ridden far, to find and worship the King of the Jews." And the people answered, "You ask in vain. We know of no king but Herod the Great." They thought the wise men were men insane, as they spurred their horses across the plain, like riders in haste, and who cannot wait. And when they came to Jerusalem, Herod the Great, who had heard this thing, sent for the wise men and questioned them, and said, "Go down unto Bethlehem and bring me tidings of this new king." So they rode away, and the star stood still, the only one in the gray of morn. Yes, it stopped. It stood still of its own free will, right over Bethlehem on the hill, the city of David, where Christ was born. And the three kings rode through the gate and the guard, through the silent street, till their horses turned and neighed as they entered the great inn yard. But the windows were closed and the doors were barred, and only a light in the stable burned. And cradled there in the scented hay, in the air made sweet by the breath of kine, the little child in the manger lay, the child that would be king one day, of a kingdom not human, but divine. His mother, Mary of Nazareth, sat watching beside his place of rest, watching the even flow of his breath, for the joy of life and the terror of death were mingled together in her breast. They lay their offerings at his feet. The gold was their tribute to a king. The frankincense, with its odor sweet, was for the priest, the paraclete. The myrrh for the body's burying. And the mother wondered and bowed her head and sat as still as a statue of stone. Her heart was troubled, yet comforted, remembering what the angel had said of an endless reign and of David's throne. Then the kings rode out of the city gate with a clatter of hoofs in proud array. But they went not back to Herod the Great, for they knew his malice and feared his hate, and returned to their homes by another way. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, 1877.
I'm back with my friend Jean Cody, and we're going to talk about Christmas. So Jean, tell me, what is a typical Christmas day like at your house?
Well, Christmas for us starts Christmas Eve, mm-hmm. actually. And when we lived in New England, we were around, well, Jeff's family, his side of the family, their big celebration was always Christmas Eve. So we would go to church, and then we'd go back to Grandma and Grandpa's house and, you know, have a buffet. And traditionally this started when Jeff was young, because they would hunt. So it was some kind of game, and it was his mother would make Swiss steak, which is basically a beef thing in gravy, like a steak in gravy.
Hmm.
And she always made seafood Newburgh.
Okay.
So that was kind of the, and we still do that.
Cool.
So Christmas Eve was that, and we'd open gifts with extended family, whoever was around. And then Christmas Day was very low key. You know, we, depending on the ages of the kids, depended on what time we got up, but usually it was pretty early. And we just savored it, like one gift at a time, one person at a time, so they acknowledge who gave them what. It was just, we just savored it and let it last a long time in our jammies and just just fun. And then Christmas Day, his parents would usually come see what all the grandkids got and bring leftovers from Christmas Eve.
Nice.
And we would just eat the leftovers and visit with them. And so that's kind of what it was like when the girls were growing up.
Right.
And now, I mean, of course it's changed because they're not all living at home, but we still do our Christmas Eve get together either at my house or sometimes at Jeff's sister's house. And so it's kind of the same thing, except, you know, like Emily's not married, so she'll come and spend Christmas Eve and have it with us and, you know, the girls that live at home. And it's low key again. It's just, you know, just we stay in our jammies until noon and
that's fun. So I love that you said that you savor it by opening presents slowly, one at a time, because some people will be like, no, it's going to be pandemonium, we're going to all open it at once. And I like that perspective on it. It's not just we're making you wait to open your present, it's we're gonna make this last as long as possible, because you put so much work into getting to that point,
right?
And it could be, it's kind of like when you cook Thanksgiving and it takes hours and hours and hours and everybody's done eating in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I did forget was, and this comes from his side of the family too, because my family didn't have a lot of traditions, you know, his more, but we also did stockings. We hung them empty until, and then Christmas Eve we filled them and we put them on the end of their bed.
Oh.
So sometimes we found out later that they would wake up, who knows, two in the morning. And they would empty their stockings and look at everything in it and put it all back in. But what they would do is they, after that, in the morning when it was time to get up, they would come in our room with their stockings and they'd all go through their stockings while we're laying in bed. And now they make us stockings too. So they bring us our stockings in the morning and we just...
Oh, that is so sweet.
So
that's, I love that.
So that's something that we do.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
Is there, besides the steak and the Newburgh seafood, what was it?
Seafood Newburgh.
Seafood Newburgh.
So it's just seafood in a kind of a cream sauce.
Okay.
And you put it over a pastry.
Oh, that sounds yummy.
Yeah, that's good.
Can you share that recipe with us?
Sure.
Awesome. Is there like a particular sweets or dessert or candy or cookies that must be made at some point during the Christmas season?
Oh, yes. We do. Yeah, we do cookie making usually a week before or so. The girls, even as they grew older, we all got together and made cookies and watched Elf.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we got to watch that while we make our cookies.
Of course. We have an Elf tradition too. That's usually how we kick off the season is. Yeah. We used to do it on Thanksgiving night when everybody still lived at home and it was the kids were younger. We would watch it after all the Thanksgiving food had been cleaned up. And that was like officially, it's now officially Christmas.
You're right.
So we would watch Elf. But now we have, we're, you know, married kids. They're trying to go and be with other families. And so we do it like a week later when we're decorating the tree.
Oh, okay.
With whoever can come because they've seen it so many times. We all know it by heart.
Right.
So it's kind of playing in the background. And then like if your favorite part comes on, they'll stop and they'll, oh, I love this part. You know?
Yeah.
But okay. So you're making cookies, watching Elf. What kind of cookies do you guys typically make? Are there some that are always on rotation or you try different things?
There
out?
Are. Peanut butter balls are always every year.
Yummy.
And Jeff's grandmother used to make raisin-filled cookies.
Raisin-filled cookies?
Raisin-filled cookies is a very simple recipe. The dough is just very simple. And yeah. And so I always make those because those are his favorite.
Elaborate. What does it look like? What does it taste like?
So you make like I said, the dough, if I can remember.
Is it like a pie dough?
Sort of, but it is more cookie-ish though. It's not really pastry.
Okay.
But it's very simple. It's like butter, flour, sugar, maybe vanilla. I can't remember all of it. And then what you do is you take the raisins and you put them in the pan on the stove with some sugar and some water. And you kind of...
Rehydrate them.
Yeah. And get them nice and...
So it makes like a filling almost.
Right. Yes. Because then I put that in a like a ninja thing or something, you know, to...
Oh, so you puree it.
I puree it.
And then it goes inside the
cookie. So a dollop. So you cut the cookie with a cookie cutter, round cookie cutter. Put a dollop of that,
yeah,
and then you put a top over it. And his grandmother, and then, like, with her fingers, and they're very simple, but those are always
yummy.
Now, some of the girls aren't crazy about raisins, so they don't eat them, but those are really for dad.
That's dad's thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So, cool. Well, what about holiday traditions besides cookie baking with Elf? Are there other things you guys do every season or did when the girls were growing up? Or
I think that's really about it. I can't think of anything else that we really, I mean, you know, tree decorating was always and still is, you know, anybody that can come comes while we decorate the tree. And I usually sit and take the ornaments out and hand them to them and they put them on the tree. Mm-hmm. And there's this joke in our family. There actually is a styrofoam Christmas ball that I made in first grade. That was a long time ago.
That you made in first grade. Wow.
Yeah. Like, I'm 62. That was a long time ago. And it's got these little stickers that were put in with a straight pin into this. And the joke is, okay, Mom, you know, tell us about the... Because, it started out with me saying, I made this Christmas ball when I was in first grade. So now it's this big joke when I take it out. Okay, Mom, tell us. Where did the Christmas ball come from? You know. So that's kind of fun. But
yeah, I love the stories attached to the homemade ornaments because we have a lot of those too that our kids made, you know, in preschool or in church, Sunday school or whatever.
Right, and yeah.
The best ones are the ones that have their pictures on them from that age. Because some of them are just like not great pictures. And, you know, the kids just love to make fun of each other and how they look in their photos. Anyway, that's fun.
That's fun. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so Christmas can just really run away with us if we're not careful. So what are some of the ways that you keep your focus on the main thing?
I think what I've done in the past, and even when the girls were young, and I still try to do, is have a Christmas devotional that we use, you know, mm-hmm. read together, or, you know, just to try to keep that. It's very hard to keep that focus because it gets so busy and chaotic and parties and shopping and, you know, the whole thing. So, but that's what I've tried to do over the years, is find some new book or devotional to mm-hmm. bring it in.
When the girls were at home, would you guys like have a devotional time? Like, would you sit down with them and read it, or would you do that dinner? Or?
Do you mean just in general or at Christmas?
At Christmas.
We would try to at dinner, after dinner. Mm-hmm. Which wasn't always successful, if I'm being honest. You know, we tried.
We did the best we could.
We tried really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Awesome. Thanks for sharing your Christmas memories with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. And what, 6 months already?
Right.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. I'm here with my friend Gwen. And we are going to talk about Christmas. All right. Tell me about a typical Christmas day at your house.
Well, I'm going to warn you that I've hated Christmas because of my job. So.
Oh, no. Okay. I'm interested to hear this story now.
Well, as a school social worker, I was responsible for all the angel tree stuff. Oh. So I had to do Christmas for like 70 kids each year.
So we have a lot of international listeners, and I don't know if they do angel tree internationally. Can you explain a little bit about what that is?
Well, that's kind of a generic term. The mm-hmm. original angel tree was people buying presents for children whose parents were in prison. But because there were so many students that were in a low socioeconomic situation in the schools, and their families couldn't buy presents, different groups like the Rotary Club and the Lions Club and the police have the Blue Santa. Out here, it's the Green Santas, the Sheriff's Department. All those agencies and groups want to buy presents for children. And so somebody has to pick the children, get permission, get wish lists, get those to the agencies, get the presents, wrap the presents, and get them delivered. Oh, and that was me.
That was you. Okay,
and
that is
someone
a lot.
Else on each campus. So
that's a lot.
That was a lot. And that always started in October.
Wow.
So I was done with Christmas by Thanksgiving. So my poor children, I mean, we did presents and everything, but in thinking about it, there's kind of like the past when they were little and mm-hmm. living at home.
Yeah.
So typically we were visiting grandparents and we would have presents on Christmas morning. My husband started a sweet thing where he would put a present in their room. It was their wake-up present. So they could open that when they woke up.
Aww.
But then they had to wait.
That's cute.
Till after breakfast. And then we were all ready and we would open the presents. And there's a book called The Christmas Miracle of Jonathan Toomey. Have you heard of it?
Mm-mm.
He always reads that to the kids.
Okay.
It's about a man, and it was old-timey days, and his family died, and he was grouchy, but he was a wood carver, and he gets a job to carve this nativity set.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that story. It's real sweet, but he becomes happy again because of the family, that the widow and her son that he mm-hmm. meets doing that. Anyway, that's a kind of a tradition. And reading the Bible, the Christmas story in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But now that my kids are adults and they're married and the in-laws would like to see them too at Christmas. So Christmas looks different every year, just depending on who's there. But we don't do presents so much. We like to have an adventure.
Okay.
And so usually... Well, and Christmas has always not been such a big deal. I would rather have everyone at Thanksgiving. And so, like, we had a tradition for almost 30 years. After the day after Thanksgiving, we go to Enchanted Rock and go rock climbing, and the kids could bring their friends.
That's fun.
It was really fun because I am so not into Black Friday and shopping and all that.
Uh-huh.
So whoever's here, we'll have an adventure. And we kind of started a new tradition of, it seems like the new Star Wars movies come out at Christmas.
Yeah.
And we go to the drive-in.
Oh, that's
have our
fun.
Lawn chairs in the back of the truck and nice. Watch the new Star Wars at the drive-in. They're all over that. Like, they want to do that.
So. That's cool. I haven't been to the drive-in yet.
There's one in New Braunfels.
Yeah, I know.
It's
and I've
fun.
Never been.
And if you go in the summer, you know, it's pleasant out enough to sit out in your lawn chairs with, and the kids can run around. And
that's so cool.
It's kind of fun.
That's a great idea.
So we've, like this last Thanksgiving, we all met in Colorado Springs at Logan's house. And mm-hmm. we went hiking and just had fun.
That's great.
And the Thanksgiving before that, we got an Airbnb in Arkansas. And we did bike riding and hiking.
That's fun.
And one Thanksgiving, we did a paddling trip in Big Bend.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
That was an adventure. Seth arranged that.
Uh-huh.
We paddled like for 8 hours on the Rio Grande till we were in the middle of nowhere. Like, it was probably 30 miles to a road if you were walking.
Wow.
And we camped on the river, and then the next day we went canyoneering, where you rappel down through these slot canyons.
Oh my goodness.
That
you
was
guys
scary.
Are adventurous.
Yeah, that was scary. At one point in that, I put my coat over my head and I cried. And then Seth whips out the chocolate. He says, "Mom, I brought this chocolate for this very moment."
Oh.
So I ate the chocolate and I dried my tears, and I was okay after that. So.
Oh my
but
goodness.
But it was very scary.
Oh, wow. So on Christmas, it sounds like it's kind of hit or miss nowadays as to whether you've got people with you or not. But just holidays in general, during that season, you know, are there particular meals that you guys like to have, a special meal for Christmas, or special recipes that you always prepare?
Pie. Nobody cares about turkey or ham. They just want pie. So I make about 8 pies.
Wow.
And then... I mean, usually we have a turkey sandwich on a hike, and I just love that. Now, if we go to my parents, we'll have a ham or a turkey, mm-hmm. but no, there's
What's your best pie recipe? Like, what's your favorite?
I like cherry pie. Seth likes peach, and they all like a different kind, so we have all those.
So that's why you have to make 8.
Yes. So that everybody can have a lot of pie, not just one slice.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love that. So
we're kind of weird, I guess.
Well, no. I mean, I get the pie answer a lot. A lot of people are all about the pie. I mean, really, especially for Thanksgiving here in the States, I think pie is more important than the turkey for most people. But even during Christmas time as well, people love pie.
Well, we do. Now that they're adults, it's been more of a potluck.
Oh, that's good.
And that's nice because everybody brings something and extended family too. But this is funny because when I was talking about gender role expectations, the year that Seth got married, and his wife is very independent, and they have very non-traditional roles.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to Natalie, his wife, about what they were going to bring. And Seth goes, "Mom, why do you assume that Natalie is going to be cooking the dish?" I was like, "Well, I guess because that's the way I always think of it." And he goes, "Well, I will be." So then I said, "Well, then what are you going to bring, Seth?" So he had to bring something too. I enjoy seeing that in this younger generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not so locked into.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Well, how it sounds like you are very, I mean, we've already kind of touched on this. You're very intentional about the gift you give being like more of an adventure. Are there any other things that you do to just kind of keep your focus on Christ during this season?
Well, I like to plan ahead and buy gifts throughout the year, but I don't always get that done. And I like to keep it simple. And now that Amazon is here, I don't even go to a store. And I'll just tell my kids, "Send me a shopping cart," and they will. And I just order this, whatever they want, which that way they get what they want. And I don't waste a bunch of time buying something they don't want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but we do stockings. I guess that is a tradition.
They still love stockings, and I always fill them with little nuts or candy bars or some little, like when they were in college, I would put flash drives and stuff they wouldn't normally buy for themselves or some kind of silly toy. But
that's fun.
They love the stockings.
Yeah. Yeah. We do stockings too. And that's a really fun thing to just get really creative with. I enjoy that a lot.
And I put up a tree and I try to decorate some. Mm-hmm.
So you're not a total anti.
No, I'm not. Grinch I love. I like Christmas now that it's not
that you're not having to do gift buying for 70 children.
Yeah,
yeah, that makes a difference.
Yeah, I didn't have to buy all of those, but a lot of times I did. But a lot of them. But I always had to make sure they were appropriate.
And right, right. Thanks for sharing your Christmas ideas and memories with us. Merry Christmas.
Hope it's not too weird.
No,
yes, Merry Christmas to
it's
you.
Not weird.
From A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Such a bustle ensued that you might have thought a goose the rarest of all birds, a feathered phenomenon to which a black swan was a matter of course, and in truth it was something very like it in that house. Mrs. Cratchit made the gravy, ready beforehand in a little saucepan, hissing hot. Master Peter mashed the potatoes with incredible vigor. Miss Belinda sweetened up the applesauce. Martha dusted the hot plates. Bob took Tiny Tim beside him in a tiny corner at the table. The two young Cratchits set chairs for everybody, not forgetting themselves, and mounting guard upon their posts, crammed spoons into their mouths, lest they should shriek for goose before their turn came to be helped. At last the dishes were set on and grace was said. It was succeeded by a breathless pause as Mrs. Cratchit, looking slowly all along the carving knife, prepared to plunge it in the breast. But when she did, and when the long-expected gush of stuffing issued forth, one murmur of delight arose all around the board, and even Tiny Tim, excited by the two young Cratchits, beat on the table with the handle of his knife and feebly cried, "Hurrah!" There never was such a goose. Bob said he didn't believe there ever was such a goose cooked. Its tenderness and flavor, size and cheapness were the themes of universal admiration. Eked out by applesauce and mashed potatoes, it was a sufficient dinner for the whole family. Indeed, as Mrs. Cratchit said with great delight, surveying one small atom of a bone upon the dish, they hadn't ate it all at last. Yet everyone had had enough, and the youngest Cratchits in particular were steeped in sage and onion to the eyebrows. But now, the plates being changed by Miss Belinda, Mrs. Cratchit left the room alone, too nervous to bear witnesses, to take the pudding up and bring it in. Suppose it should not be done enough. Suppose it should break in turning out. Suppose somebody should have got over the wall of the backyard and stolen it while they were merry with the goose, a suspicion at which the two young Cratchits became livid. All sorts of horrors were supposed. Hello! A great deal of steam! The pudding was out of the copper! A smell like a washing day! That was the cloth. A smell like an eating house and a pastry cook's next door to each other, with a laundress's next door to that. That was the pudding. In half a minute, Mrs. Cratchit entered, flushed but smiling proudly, with the pudding, like a speckled cannonball, so hard and firm, blazing in half of half a quartern of ignited brandy, and bedighted with Christmas holly stuck into the top. Oh, a wonderful pudding! Bob Cratchit said, and calmly, too, that he regarded it as the greatest success achieved by Mrs. Cratchit since their marriage. Mrs. Cratchit said that now the weight was off her mind, she would confess she had had her doubts about the quantity of flour. Everybody had something to say about it, but nobody said or thought it was at all a small pudding for a large family. It would have been flat heresy to do so. Any Cratchit would have blushed to hint at such a thing. At last the dinner was all done, the cloth was cleared, the hearth swept, and the fire made up. The compound in the jug being tasted and considered perfect,
apples and oranges were put upon the table and a shovel full of chestnuts on the fire. Then all the Cratchit family drew round the hearth, in what Bob Cratchit called a circle, meaning half a one, and at Bob Cratchit's elbow stood the family display of glass, two tumblers and a custard cup without a handle. These held the hot stuff from the jug, however, as well as golden goblets would have done, and Bob served it out with beaming looks while the chestnuts on the fire sputtered and cracked noisily. Then Bob proposed, "A Merry Christmas to us all, my dears. God bless us," which all the family re-echoed. "God bless us, everyone," said Tiny Tim, the last of all.
I'm back with my friend Danny, and we're going to talk about Christmas.
Yay!
Love Christmas.
Love Christmas.
All right, let's talk about it. Tell me what a typical Christmas day looks like at the Hamilton household.
Oh my gosh, we're very protective of Christmas Day.
Really?
Very protective. One, my son is a Christmas baby, and so...
Oh, I didn't know that!
Joji is our little Christmas baby.
Aw.
He was born at 9:45 Christmas morning, almost 2 years ago now that we're recording. So, We were always protective of Christmas morning, but now even more so because it's also birthday. And my husband is a December 26th baby.
Oh,
so
wow.
We've got double birthdays. But the main reason we're protective of Christmas morning is because it is very easy to get swept away in just all of it. Yeah. So much going on. So since our first Christmas together, married with no kids, we very intentionally said we will always spend Christmas morning just us at home. Mm-hmm. We don't step foot out of the house until after lunchtime, at least, if not the whole day. But Christmas morning for us is magical. It's quiet. Even with the kids, it's like they sense like the quiet, the calm, which I love.
And Well done.
I hope it stays that
way. Well done with three boys.
I know. I don't know what it is. Other holidays, no. But Christmas,
okay.
It's like they get it. They see the vision. Uh-huh. They bought in. I love it. I'm like, yes, okay, we're doing something right. So we normally get up. We try to do one big gift for all three to share. So that's usually like the first thing we do is give them the big thing. And it's usually like, you know, something to play on, like a trampoline or like, you know, one big thing.
Yeah.
And then we keep Christmas really small in our family. So we try to do the something you want, something you need, something you wear, and something you read. Mm-hmm. So we do small gifts, and it's always something they've been asking for. Something they need, and then a book and some clothes.
Okay.
Some article of clothing.
Yeah.
So we try to stick to that. Obviously, there are times when there's, you know, we go off script, but we like to have breakfast together and open our gifts with each other on the floor. We sit on the floor and we open all our presents and our stockings. We do little snacks in the stockings and little puzzles and games and things like that. And then we just spend time together, the five of us, if we have the luxury of Luke being here, because he does have to work a lot on Christmas. But if he's home, then we will do it all on the 25th and we will have Christmas. If he's not home, then we fake it and we wait till the day he's off and that's Christmas. And we don't even tell the kids. We just, they're too young.
They're too young. Yeah.
We sit, we play with toys, we read the books, and we just kind of have enjoy a quiet morning.
Oh, that's awesome.
We like to have music on, and then usually we'll do a fun breakfast like pancakes or cinnamon rolls, something that we don't normally do.
Yeah.
We're not really sugar people, but we'll do some tasty treats for Christmas morning. And then depending on, like I said, Luke's schedule, sometimes we split the day half and half with my parents or his parents, and we'll go do one of the grandpa Christmas days, which are, if it's at Luke's house, still very calm and quiet. If it's at my house, my parents love a celebration.
Okay.
So it is going to be fun, but it is going to be loud and chaotic, and it'll be a riot. But it's definitely different from the quiet Christmas morning.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
So besides your quiet, protected family Christmas morning, do you have any other traditions that you do sort of during the season?
Yeah, we do. So we are big on Christmas music early.
Mm.
We
like how early?
Sometimes we play it before Thanksgiving. Oh, my husband really likes like the oldies, the classic. Yeah. Bing Crosby and like I don't know. So we'll play Christmas music early sometimes, but we like to make our own decorations. We're
fun.
A very crafty family.
Yes.
And also my husband is one of those people that loves to throw things away. And so he doesn't enjoy storing Christmas decorations. And at first I was offended. Like, what? You don't want to keep the Christmas? And then it turned into an opportunity and it was like, you know what? We're going to just every year, we're going to look for some, you know, inspiration. We're going to go out hiking. We pick up sticks that we like, or like, my kids will find like pine needles and things and we'll take yarn and glue and whatever. And I usually have a theme because it's me, but we make all of our own ornaments.
So every year you have a different tree.
Every year we have a new tree and we are, 100% real tree people. My husband will not let an artificial tree in the house. I grew up in an artificial tree home, so you know, different strokes for different folks. But we redecorate every year, new theme, new tree, and then we let it die, and it gets crispy, and then my husband's a firefighter, so he lights it on fire, and that is what we do.
Okay, her husband is a firefighter.
Please do not do this
Please
at home.
Please don't do this at home.
He likes how quickly they go up. This is like a real fire hazard.
And it's not in the house.
It's not in the house. No. We let this thing dry out for months outside. It is crispy by the time he lights it on fire. Also, I don't know if we can do it now that we've moved. I don't think we can do it here.
I don't think your neighbors would appreciate that.
Knowing my husband, he'll load it up in the truck and bring it to my in-law's house and do it there. Because that's like his favorite part of Christmas, lighting the tree on fire.
Wow.
But we do. We make all our own ornaments. And then, of course, like, I'm a mama, so I'm going to keep a few that the kids make.
Yeah.
And those go on the tree. So as the tradition goes on, the tree won't be as cohesive, let's say, because we'll have ones from different years.
Sure.
But the kids love it.
That's so cool.
And we try to make extra and give them as our little presents for Christmas to our friends and coworkers. We'll give ornaments.
And you know, by the time your kids move out, if you keep a few every year.
Yeah, they can decorate their first tree.
They can decorate their first tree. Mm-hmm. Or if they don't want them, then you haven't already. Your tree is like it's all decorated.
Done.
Like,
it's ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
And they love it. We do even planning, we do together, me and the kids. So we'll go on Pinterest and look at ideas and they tell me what they like, what they don't. And then I just start to formulate like what things go together. We'll do like air dry clay and cut out stars and make garland stars. We've done the paper bag. I did it for the church last year.
The paper bag stars.
That was our theme last year. And then we do a lot with recycled material. So we cut out cardboard boxes into star shapes and then wrap yarn until they look puffy and like fat. Like they're real squishy yarn stars. They loved that. And we've done dried oranges. We've done, I don't know, popcorn strands. But yeah, they like that they're decorating. They're big on decorating and they're big on making. And so we tried to make that work and it works well because then we don't have to store stuff either. We give away a lot of it.
Yeah. That was my question. I was like, what do you do with it when at the end of the season?
A lot of the stuff we give because, I mean, they're handmade ornaments.
Yeah.
And so like my mom always wants one. The ladies at work, like I'll give them ornaments and stuff. But yeah, a lot of them get gifted. And then we do keep a few little ones here and there. But it's like, you know, we can fit all of our Christmas stuff in one little Rubbermaid bin.
Oh my gosh, girl.
Yeah.
I have an attic full of Christmas stuff.
But
we won't talk about that. So... Anyway, let's talk a little bit about what you do to keep your focus on the main thing during the busyness and craziness. You've got three little kids and you work full time and your husband's a firefighter. I mean, you have a lot going on. Mm-hmm. So how do you keep it between the rails?
So I am notoriously a procrastinator, mm-hmm. like big time. And so part of that means that I don't start getting ready for Christmas. Like the music's on, don't get me wrong, but I don't start getting ready for Christmas until it's almost Christmas. So in that, it kind of limits what you can do.
That's true.
So, okay. Yeah, I'm not going to get as much shopping done. I'm not going to, you know, be buying stuff I don't need to be buying for the kids because I do push things. I know myself. I push things to the last minute because I sign up for too much stuff and mm-hmm. I'm overcommitted. But in the more intentional sense, like we do have a lot of conversations in our family around what the meaning of Christmas is. Again, that practice of gratitude and stewardship comes out a lot during that season because it is so easy for the kids to say, I want. Yeah. And so to redirect and say like, hey, like Christmas is actually about family and like it's about Jesus. And we're going to get to see all these people that we don't get to see for the rest of the year. You know, we have, my brother lives in Virginia. I think they're coming this Christmas. My grandparents will come. Like, you get to see all these people. Mm-hmm. And we try to be very, very intentional about explaining, like, this is a time we get to spend with our friends and family together. And it's special. And so we do a lot of explaining because our kids are young. We read the Christmas story a lot from their little children Bibles mm-hmm. and stuff to just introduce them to that story, like how Jesus was born and how he came. And then, yeah, just the quiet time, like keeping it quiet, keeping it family, keeping it calm mm-hmm. and trying not to get sucked into all of the marketing and the consumerism and all of the stuff that, honestly, afterwards you have like a hangover from it. It's like you have all this stuff in your house and you're like, gosh, I don't even want all this stuff. Like now I just feel awful. And so we try to not have the Christmas hangover, you know?
Like, I like that.
Yeah.
No Christmas hangover.
No Christmas hangover. It's like you party and you got all this stuff and all the people and you get home and you're like, wait, we missed the point. Like I feel drained, you mm-hmm. know? So we try to avoid that at all costs.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, sounds like you're doing a good job. So
trying.
Yeah.
Okay. The kids are going to grow and we'll face new things. You know?
You will. But I mean, you've sort of decided what's important to your family and you guys are setting yourselves up to establish that early on.
Yeah.
And teach them. So I think that's really wise.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's so sweet.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening to this holiday edition of the Art of Home podcast. I hope you've been inspired and encouraged to practice your art of holiday homemaking with joy and confidence. If you just can't get enough of these episodes, be sure to go back and listen to last year's holiday homemaking series. It is full of stories like you have heard today and a lot of practical tips and ideas I shared from my 30 plus years of holiday homemaking. If you have found value in this episode, would you please share with a homemaker you know who could use some encouragement? And if you would take just a minute or two and leave us a rating and a review on your listening app, I would be very grateful. That helps other people determine if this show is a good fit for them. Don't forget to subscribe to Homemaker Happy Mail. That's our free weekly newsletter. It's the only place you can get a copy of the recipes that are shared by our guest here today. It goes out every Friday morning, except when we're on a podcast break. Sign up with the link below or go to theartofhomepodcast.com/subscribe. Well, that's all for today's episode. Thank you for tuning in. I will be back next Wednesday with our final holiday homemaking episode of 2022. Until then, keep practicing your art of making a home for the holidays.